Today's scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 through 21. This is what the Lord says, "He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out of the chariots and horses the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up, do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, and they may proclaim my praise." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Julia, when I grow up, I'm going to read like you. You know, but I'm praying for that. Let us pray. Lord, we are coming to your presence, who are the God who does new things. And we are open here to do and to be able to be an instrument of an example, a testimony of what it is to do a new thing in our lives. And through that, Lord, empower us to share with others the hope that comes from you. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. We have been in this season of Lent, and Lent has all of these different feelings. On one hand, there is a sense of gratitude because we know that the Lord Jesus Christ came to proclaim his love, to give his life for you and for me, and that brings that hope for all of us. On the other hand, it's also a season of a lot of sorrow. For me, it's hard to remember that Jesus needed to take that way. He needed to die on the cross and suffer for all of us. So we come with that with a lot of respect and at the same time with gratitude, knowing that this is a season that actually transforms our lives. What we are trying to see through this time too is that specifically, how is it that I can prepare myself and how can I walk through this time of Lent in a way that I can be able to grow spiritually? We have learned that this is a time where we remember the action that God has done with us, the covenant of love with him. But in that remembering, we also know that we're capable to do things because of our relationship with Christ. We imitate, and that's kind of a hard thing when God tells us, imitate who I am, and then we can tell to people, imitate me so you can see who is a real Christian. Isn't that hard sometimes to say? Especially when we are driving, I keep hearing that. But this is the time when we also can say, God, if I believe you can transform lives, you can transform my life too, and I can be able to change. You see, as Christians, we believe that people can change by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? You are an example. It's expected to you that you will change to be the best of you through the power of God. As a pastor, I'm committing my life to be the best person I can be serving you here. It's going to be a very long route, I assure you that, with this Mexican. But we are all committing to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's expected, and this important thing, it is possible by the power of God. We also learn to repent, and repent is this beautiful process that God has given to all of us to really be empowered to become that person that God is guiding us to be. And we also reconcile. We learned that last week, reconciling with the Lord, but reconciling also with each other. This is all this process that we have been talking during this time, where we learn that it's the way God is calling us back to his heart. It's coming from love. It's coming from the desire of God, taking our story and bringing us back to him and to who he is. Now, today we're talking about something else. There are many times that I feel I'm that guy of the picture. I feel just overwhelmed. What's really special is kind of how he pictures all of these different things that he's carrying. And probably he's a little bit old-fashioned too, because I see a very old phone over there, an old TV that many of the millennials don't even know how to dial that phone or how to start that TV. But it's that sense of feeling overwhelmed. Have you been there? Or let me ask you, and let's be honest, this is a small crowd, we can be honest here. Are you there right now, overwhelmed? And some things are good. I'm not saying everything is bad. It's just overwhelming. I think that if I can put myself in a calendar or in a schedule, this is what describes me. I mean, on daily life, classes, schedules, activities. There are times I feel everything is going out of control. Decisions that we need to take is over and over. It's constantly with us. Again, some of them are good. Some are really great, are about great things your children are doing. Your jobs are thriving. Some things are great. Some other ones are difficult things that we need to deal and decisions we need to take. While we are dealing with that, we also open we turn the TV on, and what we find is there is a lot of tension sometimes between two things. Relationship among countries is tense, or relationship with each other. If you can come to two main points of what do we see in the news, is these two things. How countries are getting along with each other, how is it that people are getting along or not getting along with each other, isn't it? So these are things that we're struggling in our present time in exactly same struggles. Because if we translate this to the prophet Isaiah's time, it's exactly the same thing. The daily life of people was about also taking decisions. They were looking at how the other people of Judah and Jerusalem and the people of Israel, they were taking decisions and the consequence of those decisions. And some of the consequence was that the people of God who had their place that was called their own land, they were actually on exile because the Assyrians came and took them. And also we can see that the second part, the south kingdom, also was going to be taken by an exile. So they needed to take decisions. There was also situations, some tensions. And some of the things they needed to confront is, who do we trust? They had so many options by the people around them with new gods or new ideas, and they were starting to take options of, let's not listen to the God of Israel, let's try to have other gods. That was not a wise decision, but that's why they were. And also the news, if we could say, where were the news at that time, is exactly the same news about us. There were tensions about between countries, and there were tensions in relationship with each other, exactly where we are right now. So with this sense sometimes of feeling overwhelmed, and at the same time to all of us, conflict in relationship with each other, it could be easy that we feel hopeless. It could be a moment when you sense that really, like the guy with that arm, touching his leg and pushing him back, sometimes probably you feel you are there. You feel like the amount of situations dealing in your life are bigger than your capacity of thriving in there. But here is where we need to see what God is telling us to do and what is what happened to us. Many times when we are struggling with situations like that, we do what we call alliances. Is that a way to pronounce it? Alliances. We do that. Some of them were very clear that we do that. Sometimes we are not aware that we are doing those alliances. Think about this. If the people of Jerusalem, what they did is, when they didn't know how to deal with struggle and feeling overwhelmed, their alliances were with other nations, and they literally went with other nations, and they say, let's work together so that we can go and kill these other guys who look bigger. And Isaiah many times warned them. And Isaiah said, you know, that's not going to be a good idea. They are trying to come in an alliance with you, but there will be a moment that they will betray you. So I don't recommend you to do that. They didn't listen. Then there are alliances with other gods. And they say, you know, it seems to me that this God of Israel is not going to lead me to what I want to. So I'm going to try these other gods in here. And also Isaiah told them, that is has shown you already his power. And here you are trying to go with these other gods that are just fake. And also with idols. They had a lot of these idols, and some of them were super creepy, as I have told you before. Some of these idols were like done in a material like bronze or other metal, and they will hit them inside, and then they would put children over them as a sacrifice. It was just the creepiest thing ever, but they will do with that. And then what we do is, if we think about us, we also do alliances. Sometimes we have a very strong alliance with worry. Amen? I think it's funny because this week I talk about worry in our class on Wednesday. And it was funny because I thought, okay, isn't it funny that me, who is the king of worry, I don't know, Andy said that production, I am teaching about worry. And worry has been in my mind a lot lately with all the situation with my parents in Mexico. And so I can worry so easily. And worry dominates your brain because it's a way where mentally doesn't give room for anything else good. It's also something important in your brain physically. When you concentrate in something positive, your brain cannot have a negative and positive thought at the same time. But when we tend to stay on the negative, what happens? We worry. Because then it becomes this big tornado that we can't control. It grows in your mind, isn't it? We do a horrible game. Maybe you don't even do that. But here, Lupina, is like, what if? What if this happened? What if this happened? And that then becomes an uncontrollable sense of worry. Have you gotten there? Or is it just a Mexican privilege? You know? And then the other thing keep going is also, okay, I don't know what to do, that you're going to work very hard. And we think that you think if I work hard, things are going to be solved. And after you work very hard and your schedule is becoming 70 hours a week, then you go home exhausted and are things better? Not really. Not really. Is your job better because of that? No. It doesn't. It's still being there. I mean, and the things you need to do, they never end. So you have that other thing. And then physically, we also have fears. And that's emotional. One of the main situations and the main enemies that we have is fear. And usually fear is going to be covered by other emotions. Sometimes we have people that are very angry and you're thinking, well, something is wrong with them. Usually it's fear. They are hiding fear. And sometimes that fear is like a big black hole in your heart that just feels that you don't know where it's going to go. Have you been there? So all of these are the different alliances that we do. We do it with worry. We do it with working hard, with fear, and we can give a lot of names. Think about your own alliances. Where do you go where you are in the deepest stress? That's where your alliance is. Where do you go? So what do we do with all of that? I think we need to listen to Isaiah. Because one of the things Isaiah says is this word, whoa, right? That's what Isaiah is telling them. And actually, there is a chapter that is a chapter of the woes of Isaiah. And mainly what is Isaiah is saying in there is like, watch out there. Watch out there. You need to be careful about those alliances. So the first thing, guys, again, this is a small crowd. We can be honest here. And if you were able to make it through the rain, mean that you are really committed to the church. Tell me the truth. How many times we really need to recognize that we're doing those alliances? We all have some of those alliances, right? So that's where we need to start, recognizing where we are and say, God, my alliances sometimes are controlling my decisions. So that's the first step to be healthy. The second one is, whoa, okay? So meaning, I don't want to keep those alliances anymore. I don't want to grow on them. So what do we do about that? And this is one of the beautiful things that we need to remember. As you can see, this is a beautiful part, but it's a desert in California. And sometimes when we think and we see things like that, we sense there is no other hope. Whenever you have been in desert, and I live in Monterrey where we have mountains, but there are places that you think there is no way there is a flower that can come from this place. And it feels hopeless. It feels dry. It feels empty. But you see what happened? There are beautiful aspects that the Lord reminds us. Isaiah 43 says in here, compels us to view our future with fear, but with expectation. And what happens is, while sometimes this sense of feeling overwhelmed and these alliances send us to a dry place, we also need to remember that there are memories, and even those difficult experiences, God can use those to show us something new. Look at this. This is also a desert in California. And when you see this, you can think nothing good, no good feeling can be there. It's probably just warm, hot, and just plain. But this same place, last month, let me show you how it looked.
That's some poppy fields. So here's the flowers.
so popular that the amount of visitors is bigger than the amount of people living in town. Because and it is when suddenly rain has been in the area and in places that you thought there is no life, these beautiful flowers pop up and life comes in. You see, sometimes we are in that part of the story. Sometimes you and I feel that we are dry land, that there's no way that life can be a part of us. There are times when you can feel that that sense of feeling overwhelmed is not going to allow you to see life again. But from nowhere, from a place that you don't even know, here we have God bringing life to you again. And that's the promise that we hear today in the scripture on Isaiah. The promise is that God will bring that life to us when we come to an alliance with the true God. How do we trust him? Why can I trust him? The same chapter, chapter 43, at the beginning it says this beautiful scripture, and this is the foundation of why we trust. It says, For I have redeemed you, for I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. For I am the Lord your God, and I love you. I have redeemed you. We are relying on God who already promised to be our redeemer. For the people of God, they knew it was the same God who was there in Egypt with them and brought them out of slavery and gave them a place called their own land. That same God was the God that was going to help them to go through that struggle of difficulties. And as we all today, perhaps we feel overwhelmed, we also can testify the ways where God has shown his miracle hand in our lives. Amen. If each of you had the opportunity to witness one moment when you say, I thought I was going to sink and never stand up, but God in his redemption took me by my hand and stood me back again. Amen? That's what we remember. That's what we remember, that in those moments of darkness, there is light and there is a new action then that we need to take. First of all, it says, forget the former things. Do not dwell in the past. In other words, do not let the overwhelmed feeling control your life. Take that decision. It's not going to happen natural. It's when you say to that alliance, I quit. I don't want to be in alliance with these things that are making my life miserable. I don't want to be in alliance with worry. I don't want to be in alliance with fear. I don't want to be in alliance with addiction or anything that distracts me from God. And then the next thing we do is we say, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing new things. So ground yourself in the new things that God is doing for you. Be of me. What is that new thing? You see, and there is a scene when Jesus is walking with his cross. And you can see how his mother, Mary, is looking from the distance. And she's having a flashback when she remembers one time where her son fell when he was a little kid. And as an any mom, when you see your children falling, what happens? You feel like your blood pressure goes to the floor, isn't it? It's this feeling of, and what you do is run to try to protect your child and help him to stand up again. And there is this thing with Mary, is doing that to Jesus. But when Jesus is falling with the cross, and Mary is running to be able to stand up Jesus again in that moment of the cross, Jesus looks at Mary and he says these words to Mary, I am making all things new. And he stood up and kept walking all the way to being that cross. So what we have as good news today is that the new beginning that we have, that you have, is the foundation, is in the foundation of the love of Christ for you and for me. The new beginning that we have is not just a new fashion. It is a life that is given by the Lord Jesus Christ for you and for me. It's a life that is free of sin. It's a life with a purpose. It's a life that does not end here, but it's an eternal promise. It is a new beginning and shalom. When we are faced with this, that's the request we are in a place people are looking for to shalom. So I encourage you today through this communion. Let's just make a covenant. Let's just come and accept this sacrament as the way where we connect with God and say, God, I don't want to do alliances with anything else. I don't want to keep trying with this world that is trying to take me to so many places and distract me. I want to make an alliance of that specific new thing that I am for you. And by that, I want to proclaim by my example and my witness what it is to be in alliance with the true God. Amen. Because on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ gathered with his disciples, Jesus was ready to do something new for all of us. So he took the bread, and after he gave thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, take it. This is my body that is broken for you and for many. Do this in remembrance of me. And after the supper was over, he took the cup, and this was a special cup. This was the cup of the new covenant. And Jesus said, take, drink, this is my blood. For many ways, you and I have done alliances that are just bringing us to a place of feeling broken. But it is through the love of the Lord Jesus Christ that we're making an alliance to be a new thing. Many of us have felt that our alliances have left us empty. But when we come to Christ, our cups are full. And not just that, they can even run over to share to others. So come to this communion and be in alliance with the true God. I'm going to invite the ushers to please come forward.